Nice to see everyone that's come out tonight. We're going to read in a few places, starting in Genesis chapter 1. And we appreciate you coming out tonight, and the gospel will be preached here next Sunday evening too, in the will of the Lord. And we'd invite you back again. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 says, And God said, let there be light. The chapter starts out, in the beginning God created. So we learn the origin of all that we see around us. God created. But what I'd like to concentrate on is, and God said. So we have the God's written book in front of us here, and everything in it is what God said. We'll turn over a couple of chapters to Genesis chapter 3. The context here is the first sin that came into the world when man rebelled against God. God said, don't do this. Don't eat. You can have fruit from any tree in the garden, anyone, but not this one. And man took from that tree and ate anyway. And verse 9 says, and the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? God called. Now, John chapter 3, it's already been quoted tonight, John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And one final reading in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and 30. We'll read back in verse 24. So it's talking, I don't know if I've ever seen a specific carved out graven image, like an idol, here on Prince Edward Island. I've seen things that people treat as idols, and I even did it myself before the Lord saved me. But this is talking about idols made with hands. Verse 24 says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. We read about that, right? At first in Genesis, how God created the heaven and the earth. He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. In verse 30, so here's what it's talking about. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, or he let it go. He didn't act, he didn't judge on it right then, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So God commands. We like having good relationships with each other, don't we? People in our families and our friends. We like when things run smooth. We don't have anything against anybody. And it brings harmony and peace in a house or in the workplace, at family functions, anything at all. It's nice when things go smooth. And things went smooth in the Garden of Eden, where God had created man, and everything he needed was there. And God came down in the cool of the day and walked with man, and they enjoyed each other's company. He gave them probably a million things they could do, so many things they could do. But he said, this one thing, don't do it. Just this one thing. And we can read how the devil came into the garden and he entered into that serpent, and the serpent spoke to Eve and started to tear apart God's authority. And he said, look, it's good, you know, God's trying to hold something back from you that you should have. And Eve got looking at it and said, well, it's pleasant to the eye. I bet it tastes good. And there's something, she maybe started to believe herself that there's something here that God is trying to keep from me. And she ate, and her husband ate, and he knew better, and he knew right from wrong. And in that moment, he sided with his wife instead of siding with God. And the two of them became sinners. Now I'd like for you to ask yourself, is there anything in your life that you've ever done that you knew that was wrong? You think, say to yourself, well, just taking a piece of fruit, it's not that bad. My friend, I've done far worse than that in my life. I've done far worse. I had no trouble admitting that I was a sinner. I just didn't think that I needed God's salvation. I was like the ostrich who stuck his head in the sand to get rid of his problems. Just forget about it. Is that you tonight? Does something bother you? Are you bothered by something you've done in the past? And you say, I don't want to think about that because that bothers me. If it bothers you, then chances are it's sin. And God notices. God has written it down in heaven. And we can read that there will be books that will be opened. And these things will not be forgotten. God calls each one. Do you ever think about what's going to happen to you when this life is over? Do you ever think about why you're here? I'm thankful that I'm here. We just celebrated Canada Day in the U.S. They had their 4th of July yesterday. Maybe if you're from another country, maybe there's a celebration in your country about that. My ancestors came from Scotland, and because of political reasons, maybe the Great Potato Famine, which was really we were starved out and had to leave. Some of my ancestors were brave enough to get on an old boat and make it across the ocean and land here in Canada, and I'm so thankful. I'm happy to be where I am. Has God brought you somewhere where you can hear the gospel? Did you ever think of that? That God has changed situations? We read in Acts 17. I don't know why I turned away from it. We read in Acts 17 about the God who doesn't need temples or anything like that to to do what he does. He made all, created all life and everything we see. Verse 26, it says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You think God might have had something to do with you being here, sitting in this little meeting tonight with feeble speakers? We read that God controls these things, the countries of the earth. You think he can control where you are now just so you can hear the blessed gospel? That's something to think about, isn't it? God calls. John 3:16 is such a lovely verse. It's such a big verse, I hardly feel worthy to speak anything about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It didn't end in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God. It didn't end there. Did God stop loving them? No. Does God not love you now because you're a sinner? No, not at all. God so loved the world. I can say to my wife walking out the door, bye, love. I can say, I love you. I can say, I love you very much. God says, the verse says, for God so loved. It gives a little extra meaning, the depth of God's love for you. It says that he gave his only begotten Son. What happened there? We read about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, being born in a manger in Bethlehem, and living a perfect life on this earth, and ultimately going to a cross where he was offered up as a sacrifice for your sin. His blood was spilled upon the earth. The blood that flowed through his veins with no spot or blemish. And everything he did pleased God. Every city he went into, every person he spoke to, every miracle he did, and everything he didn't say. He quietly and patiently went to the cross where they nailed his hands and his feet to that old rough wooden cross and dropped it in the socket where he was held up for everyone to see. And the people that gathered around, maybe it was a common thing where the punishment went on there on the Skull Hill, where the people all gathered round and they would look at, they looked at him and they could say, oh, you made yourself out to be God. You did this and you did that. But there was no sin, no accusation they could bring to him. They just wanted him dead. The people yelled out, crucify him, crucify him. And so he gave his life on the cross, bowed his head, dismissed his spirit. He said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. Do you think that was for you? Do you think God so loved you that he would do that for you? You could say, I don't want you to suffer for your sins. I don't want you to be punished for your sins. I want you to change your mind and look to my Son. If you were drowning in the ocean and a boat came up, and they put out their hand to haul you in, would you take it? You'd realize, I need this. God's trying to convince you of that tonight. For he is offering salvation through his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, not just me, not just Luke, anybody, That's some gift. It takes in everyone. Whosoever Ah, believe it. You have to believe it. You have to look at the Lord Jesus and know, I'm not worthy, but he is. And I'll trust him. I'll trust him because God's happy with him. God didn't leave him in the tomb. The third day he was raised from the dead, and many, many saw him. He's the one you can trust. In Acts 17 and 30 said, God commands. God commands all men, all mankind everywhere to repent, to admit they've done wrong. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it, sometimes? Sometimes easier to just try and forget about it. My friend, I'll guarantee, if you face the fact tonight, if you face the fact right now, that your sin needs to be dealt with, you will have a happy day tomorrow and happy days the next day and the next day and the next day. And it'll never go away because you'll know your sins are forgiven. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Ah, listen to this. This is the terrible side of it. This is what we deserve. 31 says, because he hath appointed a day. You, friend, you have an appointment. And you won't miss it unless you take God's salvation. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised them from the dead. Just like we've been saying. The Lord Jesus isn't in the tomb. He isn't dead. He's not just a legend, a story of someone who was alive years ago. He is alive tonight in heaven, and he will come back as judge. You can stand with him as part of the redeemed, part of the ones bought back by his blood, part of the ones who will be happy and know peace their whole life and for all eternity. Or you can meet him as your judge, and you'll see the scars in his hands and his feet, and you'll be reminded of what he suffered for your sakes. Friend, don't pass the offer by tonight. Don't try and forget about it. Don't bury your head in the sand. Face God. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, to realize your sin and look to the only one who can save you from your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll pray. Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. Thank thee that there is one we can tell about tonight, that there is a cure for sin. There is salvation offered to everyone, everywhere. Our Father, we just pray that that would work in the meeting tonight and that there would be souls saved for thine own glory. So we just give thanks and ask for help tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.